This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. This is John Hanson filling in for John Williams and Terry Savage. I was so excited when I found out you were coming on today, Terry, as you often do on Wednesdays. Good to talk with you here at around noontime.
This is my favorite time to be on the air, and I'm so delighted to be doing this with you, as well as every once in a while on your evening show.
Was that shade at the evening show? This is your favorite time to be
Well, there's more time here usually, so yeah, we get a lot more done.
Exactly. Hey, it doesn't matter. I'm just happy to talk with you whenever. And here I took you for a big cryptocurrency fan, Terry Savage, your latest column showing that, boy, this hedge that crypto was supposed to be, it's just as lined up as everything else.
Well, there's a couple points to be made here. First of all, people are looking at the price of Bitcoin, which, of course, has proved that it is not a hedge against inflation. It's not a hedge against much of anything, just the coin itself. It's been bouncing around the 20,000 level today, sometimes under over, but from a high of 64,000. But the other aspect of it is that there have been huge losses. Just today, a major hedge fund that specialized in crypto went under and is being liquidated. And I want to talk about that. I should start just by saying, first of all, the blockchain on which Bitcoin, Ethereum, and other cryptocurrencies are based is absolutely going to revolutionize the world of finance. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when I did a story where the helicopters landed on the Federal Reserve Bank bringing checks, paper checks. And you remember maybe that it took 5 or 7 days to clear a check from an out-of-state bank before they gave you the money. So going digital is obviously revolutionized the world, and the blockchain makes it actually a lot less paper. Why would you need a survey of your property and pay for that when you buy the house when it's immutably put onto the blockchain ledger?
So what you're driving at, that blockchain can be great and has a purpose, no question about it. But it doesn't mean that the Bitcoin associated with it, or the coins associated with it, have a future or don't.
Next step. There are coins, Ethereum, blockchain, Bitcoin particularly. These are legitimate, actual, and very real things. We haven't decided what things they are yet. The Securities Exchange Commission is going to decide whether they are perhaps securities, or perhaps they're futures, or perhaps they're just something else about how they should be taxed, how they should be treated. But what's happened is there's a lot of confusion because they haven't been regulated. Mm-hmm. That was the whole idea in the first place. Well, you could get money out of China, just use Bitcoin, so to speak. But that was also reinforced when the Chinese cracked down on it. So the worst of it, and from my point of view, is they created these things called exchanges. People hear the word exchange and they trust it, because ever since the Securities Exchange Commission and Exchange Commission came into being, mm-hmm. those exchanges have been regulated. But Bitcoin exchanges are not regulated. So on top of losing money, and on top of some scams that are inherent in some of these smaller currencies themselves, they've also been a force for scamming. And this column talks about one company, MyChargeback.com, that provides a service to small investors who lost their crypto, not because the price went down, but because it was removed from their accounts, it was used as part of a scam. And so that's why I wrote that column.
MyChargeback.com.
But boy, it's going to be in the headlines.
Yeah, MyChargeback.com, and you can read the full column at TerrySavage.com. And Terry, we got a couple questions for you. You ready?
Ready to go.
630 wants to know, can you ask Terry if setting up a HELOC for some needed home updates will have any effect when I apply for a Parents Plus loan next month?
No, that shouldn't have any effect. If you had actually taken down the HELOC, it might be considered debt, which would offset perhaps some of your assets. But why are you applying for a Parent Plus loan?
Well, it's not me, Terry. It's the texter.
I know. I'm reaching out through you to this parent. A Parent Plus loan contains not only the highest interest rate, but a distribution fee that ultimately makes it one of the most expensive loans that you can take out.
Okay. Did we just lose Terry there? 720 WGN. John Hanson here on the Winter's Business Lunch. I think we just lost touch of Terry Savage, unless I'm the only one that can't hear her. Okay, that's fine. We'll continue on our conversation. Pete's trying to do it right now. We got her down right now, and we'll see if we can get Terry Savage back on again here in a second. She was talking about those Parent Plus loans. And by the way, as we talk about student loans, and I'm sure Terry will make an excellent point when she gets back on the line, but we do have Ray Kaplan joining us tonight on Your Money Matters. I know that they may have different opinions on certain things, but certainly they're experts in that area. And Ray Kaplan on at 6 o'clock tonight on Your Money Matters to chat through all of that. Pete, you want me to try Terry again? Are you going to get her on the phone line? It looks like, yeah, we're going to do that. So I just need to do something called Stall City in the meantime. I can tell you 312-981-7200 is the phone number to reach Terry Savage. We've been watching consumer confidence dropping to a 9-year low, which is pretty incredible. And people are often wondering what comes first. Does the consumer confidence get low enough that eventually people see some buying opportunities, or is the lower consumer confidence a sign of future lessening consumer confidence? It'll be something interesting to track, to be sure, over the next couple months. But as prognosticators look towards, you know, are we at the bottom of this bear market? Will this bear market continue? Are there bull markets inside the bear markets? Consumer confidence, just one of those many things that people look at as a possible explanation of what's coming in. And Steve Alexander, if you want to chime in too in any of this while we work to get Terry Savage back, I know you're working hard too. But that consumer confidence at that 9-year low, and the index dropped below 100. So they measure it on this scale, and they say that expectations below 100, that's the lowest level since 2013. If you think about that, consumer confidence levels below where they were at the peak of the pandemic, which really, really obviously was when we had so much uncertainty. And we've had consumer confidence, some expectations or some, you know, measurings of it even lower than in the 2008 economic crash as well. Some people think that that is a little bit overblown. Terry Savage, we got you back on the line, right?
Okay, I just got a flash on my thing, internet out. So
That was
a brief little thing. Gosh, how can we live without that? You didn't hear the end of my rant, which basically...
Parents Plus.
Beware of Parent Plus loans. Consider the alternatives. Ask for merit aid from the school you're going to. Ask your high school guidance counselor to possibly consider another school, which would be less expensive. Consider living at home. A lifetime burden of debt. You know, college education is great, but a lifetime burden of debt and destroying your own retirement with a Parent Plus loan is not recommended in my book.
Okay. 630 wants to know, will bank credit card companies increase the percentage on a current balance owed or just new charges? Does that question make sense to you, Terry?
Yeah. If they get around to it, they will increase interest rates
everything. Okay.
Yeah. Especially when they know they've got you. I mean, nobody's asked me a question about a 0% interest rate balance transfer for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're usually 0% interest for 6 months, maybe even for a year. Go to creditcards.com, search for balance transfers. This is the moment, because the minute they grab you and know they have you, they're going to raise rates, and that's coming down the right road soon.
Wait, so you're suggesting to get the 0% if you can and want to do that balance transfer? And we just lost Terry again. She's having some internet problems. You know, my internet reset earlier as well today. I'm not going to shout out the company, but it came out of nowhere. And we are just kind of going in and out of Terry Savage here. Tell you what, Pete. Oh, you're back again, Terry. I hear you now. You there?
Okay. You can hear me? And I've got Pete on the phone. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was. I have no idea what that was.
I don't know. But, you know, hey, this is live radio, baby. This is
exactly
how we do it.
I'm sorry I'm not in there with you. Look, I just wanted to say that if you've got a balance now, this is...
this is just getting fun. All right. Sometimes you just got to go to the old technology. Terry Savage joining us on the phone. The classic,
on
Terry.
On the phone.
Terry, I want to get to... We have 2 minutes before the news, so I just want to ask.
Okay.
708 wants to know, what are your thoughts on market neutral funds? Are they really uncorrelated to the market?
Show me one. Okay. Show me one that hasn't gone down. They may go down less. They may use strategies, but here's a market neutral strategy, 60-40, 60% stocks, 40% bonds, kind of a neutral strategy, historically speaking. Destroyed that concept this spring when both the value of stocks went down and bonds went down, because as rates rise, bond prices fall. And so that concept of being kind of balanced or market neutral was wiped out in, and it never happened before, where both stocks and bonds really for an extended period of time went down together. Everybody's got a game. Everybody's trying to sell you something. Find an asset allocation. Stick to it as long as you're not going to get scared to death and sell at just the wrong time when you panic.
All right. 262 wants to know, will the mileage tax deduction for 2022 reflect higher gas prices?
That's a really interesting question.
Right?
I doubt that. I doubt they'll figure it out. No, my bet would be against that one.
You don't have much confidence in our tax Congress figuring this out?
I don't have much. In the IRS right now, figuring things out, I still get calls from and posts on my blog from people who haven't gotten their, well, they're supposed to get all the 2020 tax refunds out, but people who filed by paper in this year, they're still waiting for their refunds. So adjusting the mileage credit for gas prices, I don't think so.
All right. Terry Savage, more with her in a bit. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Get those questions in. Terry, I got some good news for you.
What?
Not only can I hear you.
Yes, right. We're all set now.
Step one. The IRS did actually boost the standard mileage deduction 4 cents. They did it mid-year, which they said is unusual for them to do it, but it's up to 62.5 cents a mile.
I was going to look that up during the break.
I did it for you.
Every year, but I've never heard of a mid-year boost. So, okay, my apologies to the IRS. They got something right.
Hey, there you go. A Terry Savage IRS apology. Let's clip that for later. 708 says, I'd love an update from Terry regarding delays in receiving the 2021 income tax refund. Tried several times to contact the IRS, but phone haven't been successful. It was filed by paper, USPS, in early March. I know you're against that.
Well, that's the problem. The IRS actually begged and pleaded people to file electronically. In fact, I answered a post on my blog just yesterday, I think, if you scroll down far enough. And the person said, well, my accountant didn't believe in filing electronically. I said, well, be sure and get a new accountant for next year, because that's the way of the world. If you filed on paper and you filed with a return receipt request at a registered certified mail, then you at least know they have it. If you want to know more, on the front page at terrysavage.com, on the right-hand side, about a third of the way down, are a series of boxes you can click for important articles I post, because people ask the same questions over and over again. And one of them is, create an IRS ID.me account. And if you click on that article, there's a link to create your own account at the IRS. Thus, you will see whatever, if you were able to talk to an intelligent representative on the phone, which is impossible these days, you will see exactly what that rep would see, whatever is in your account. So A, they may have your account and may not have processed it or have a question, or B, they may be have your account in an envelope sitting in a pile. They slice them open when they receive them just to make sure there are no checks. They get those out right away. But they may just still be backlogged in processing paper returns. But you can find the latest by using that article at terrysavage.com. It's in a blue box, and it's right there with savings bonds, how to buy them. This is called How to Create an ID.me Account.
Okay. 708 wants to know, is there any relationship between the Consumer Confidence Index and the Quality Control Index? It seems overall the quality in which products are built is low, too. They don't build them like they used to. Words of a grumpy old man.
Yeah, well, I have no idea, but it would be a great economics project for some enterprising high school or college student to go back and look up that relationship. What I do know is, and I heard you briefly mentioning it when I could hear you, but you couldn't hear me, mm-hmm. is that the plunge in the Consumer Confidence Index yesterday was really a surprise. Maybe I'll post that graphic. You know, back in 2009, the market, the economy tanked. Remember the housing crisis, the mortgage crisis, people being foreclosed? That was a very low dip. We worked our way back up by 2019, before COVID, and we really had strong consumer confidence. Then we had the plunge for COVID, which was only about half as big a plunge and a short-lasting one as we had in 2008, 2009. And we were just getting our way back out of it in December. And then every month this year, the Consumer Confidence Index of the Conference Board has been down, because why would consumers be confident? There's inflation. There's rising interest rates. Headline talk about, is it going to be a recession? The Fed's saying we're going to get tough. So consumer confidence, especially about future expectations, has really dropped dramatically.
Isn't sometimes when they get to the bottom of consumer confidence, not that we know that we're there yet, but sign that the turnaround comes the other way, because it's kind of like baked in, then people have baked in all the bad news, and then that's where people see opportunity.
Right, but as you pointed out, we never know where the bottom is. And the consumer confidence forward expectations, intentions to buy big ticket items, for example, those are things that aren't easily turned around. So we're the consumer's two-thirds of the American economy, and now we're seeing for sure that the consumer, it's not a surprise, but the consumers are very pessimistic. So it doesn't bode well for growth in the second half of the year.
This is a personal question, Terry, but do you ever recommend using chicken money to buy chicken so you can make your own eggs, right? I mean, come on, right?
Actually, John and I had this discussion about a week or two ago.
Oh, really?
When someone, and it was a news story about people, you know, with the price of eggs being $3 a dozen some places, you know, getting some chickens for the backyard, and then someone joked, yeah, but you need a rooster. And I chipped in, because after all my years in commodities, I said, no, you get chicken eggs without a rooster.
There you go. 309, what's Terry think about buying silver?
Well, the same thing. I've always been more inclined to want to buy gold as a hedge instead of silver. Silver is an industrial metal, so sometimes it has a leg up on gold in times of strong economic growth. But without strong economic growth, and as a hedge against inflation, both silver and gold haven't been so exciting this year anyway. So I'm not in the market to buy silver right now.
Do you, as far as buying metals, boy, this is a dumb question, because I see commercials all the time about buying actual gold. Do you just buy like an index fund that's, or a stock price that's tied to the price of gold or silver?
Three quick ways to buy gold.
Okay.
You can buy gold coins and in various sizes, and then you have the problem of putting them in your bank vault to make sure that you're not robbed.
Right.
You can buy a gold fund, mutual fund, mm-hmm. that buys gold shares.
Right.
And that's certainly, they pay dividends, so you get a little bit of a hedge on the downside. Or you can buy the ETF that is literally the proxy for the price of gold.
Okay.
But in any case, gold, I mean, here we are having headline news about inflation. And a year ago, gold was up at $2,000 an ounce, made a new high. And we're still in the mid-1800s. Gold has been very disappointing as a hedge against inflation.
Terry Savage, it was a seamless segment today. No problems whatsoever, and it went great. Thanks for joining us. Always
Thanks,
good to talk
John.
To you.
Sorry about the tech.
No, not your problem. Not your problem. Always great to talk to Terry Savage. Let's get the Wintrust Business Minute with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Google is reportedly in talks to buy the James R. Thompson Center in Chicago. CoStar reports the company has plans to expand its Chicago offices into a portion of the Thompson Center after renovations are completed. Chicago developer Prime Group bought the building from the state, which agreed to buy back space in that building for state offices for about 1,300 employees. Prime Group is leading the modernization of the property. It's unclear how a Google deal would affect that agreement with the state. The report says the deal is not done yet and could change. Just a month ago, Chicago FinTech Amount raised $40 million in new equity. Now it's laying off about 18% of its staff, more than 100 workers. Amount provides tech support for banks and other financial companies who lend money over the internet. Crane's reports Amount will cut more than 60 people locally. As of February, its headcount was about 600 employees. The layoffs appear to be tied to concerns about the future direction of the economy. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
The business of food, Steve Alexander.
And we are sponsored by the Chevy Silverado HD. Experience life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. We have a tradition here on the Blowtorch, nurtured for decades by Orion and Max, that we love our high school ag teachers who are educating the next generation of farmers and business of food workers. Today's honoree is Larry Plapp, who grew up on a farm in Malta, Illinois, and is retiring. Congratulations, Larry.
Thank you very much. Yes, at 30... great years at Lake Geneva Badger and 7 years at Belvedere High School in Illinois. So it was time.
So I hear you got quite a nice surprise for your retirement.
I certainly did, and it's probably one of the most profound things that's happened to me in my life.
A group of about 10 former and current students, parents, teachers, and Larry's brother spent most of the past year conspiring, working in secret, and gave Mr. Plapp the surprise of his life at a recent FFA year-end awards banquet.
My dad's first tractor that he farmed with, they rehabbed it, painted it, sandblasted it, got it all running smooth again, new steering wheel, beautiful Super MTA, and just magnificent.
How did it feel?
I was pretty emotional. I was dumbfounded, just flabbergasted that people would do that, you know, for me. You don't do this teaching job to, you know, getting recognition for yourself. And so this was not something that I'm normally accustomed to.
And did you get behind the wheel and fire it up?
Oh, yeah. I drove it around the lot that night, and it's a very cool feeling. With my suit and tie on, it's like Oliver Wendell Douglas and Green Acres driving my tractor.
It had been over 30 years since Larry last drove that tractor, which has been gathering dust for decades after his dad moved on to a newer and more powerful model. His dad passed away last year, just after his 90th birthday. Wouldn't that have been great if he could have seen that Super MTA brought back to life?
Yes. No, I've been thinking about that a lot this past week here, yes.
Congratulations to Larry Plapp on a great career as an ag teacher. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
Talking about bosses here, Ed Zitron joins us from Insider. And Ed, you say that, let's admit it, most managers are terrible. They've never been worse. And I can hear and see people nodding along to you right now, Ed.
Yes, we have a problem with management and managers in particular in America, and frankly, I'd say in a lot of society, but especially in America, where they don't do anything. However, they love to take the work of the actual workers that they order around and then say it's theirs. They don't actually do the work. And that's a huge disconnection in society.
What stats do you have to back that up? Because I imagine some managers listening now say, no, I do things.
Well, based on the article, within the article, 83% of people surveyed believe they could do their job without their manager. 84% of people agree that poorly trained managers create a lot of unnecessary work and stress. There are plenty of anecdotal stories to go with it, but based on the informal sample size of people nodding in front of you, this is a problem that I have experienced throughout my whole career that almost everyone I know has experienced, where managers don't do the work, they just tell you to do it. This is an empathy and society issue.
Hold on, let me
without doing the work, you can speak to it. Sure,
I'm not a manager, but I'm going to push back a little bit, because while people say they could do their work without their manager, we don't really know, right? And maybe people don't know what their manager does, although that might be part of the big problem too, right?
Absolutely, and that is something that many people have remarked upon that I know, and I've mentioned many times in the things I've written. Another survey, 82% of people consider quitting because of a bad manager. This is such a ubiquitous problem, but you've really gotten onto something there. Most people can't tell you what their managers do, and frankly, I think a lot of managers would have trouble saying that too. And it's actually an economic problem as well. Excess management costs companies about $3 trillion a year, because there are lots of people who were promoted to manager who were never trained to do management, who didn't have defined things they were doing as a manager, and thus they frankly sit around waiting for things to tell other people to do. It's a huge problem, and empathetically with the managers as well, there's a lot of them left on an island without a defined role.
Right, and they still want to collect their salary, they still want to do a job, and I imagine a lot of them have pride in what they do and want to do more, but they don't get leadership from, guess who? Their managers. So,
Yes. Is
the answer to get rid of managers in general, or more, or to refine what the role is, and to kind of turn the idea of what a manager is on its head?
I think we need less managers, just because we need to stop promoting people to manager without training them or just making sure that they can actually manage. But there is an opaqueness with each layer within a company where you can't see what your boss is doing. They can't see what their boss is doing. What we need to do is refine what a boss is writ large. We need to get rid of this idea that bosses are just disassociated non-workers who, quote unquote, do the strategy. You need to be a working boss. You need to be a working manager. It will make managers happier because managers will be able to understand the people they're managing. And frankly, it will make bosses unhappy because working is annoying and they just like getting the money. But we need to work to a point where no matter how high up you go in the company, you are not distinctly separated from the work product. You have to do it, even at the top, I believe. The boss needs to have done the worst job.
Right. Are managers less needed simply also because of advances in communications, right? Like, boy, we have Slack channels, we have Teams channels. The simple organizing of humans, which is a lot of what managers do, has become, we can kind of do it on our own.
Yes. And I think that all managers, I don't know about getting rid of every single one, but yes, to your point, we've got Slack, we've got Zoom, we've got Jira. We've got all sorts of tools that people can use to manage people. Do we need distinct managers always? Probably not. At the same time, you do need one or two within a cut. You ideally want someone who is a little bit more senior, connected to the work, who can then manage that suite of tools you're discussing and actually make sure it's the thing that the people doing the work need.
773 actually chimed in. I've been in sales pretty much my whole life, and I said over and over and over again, so many good salespeople have been ruined by promoting them to managers. Is there a talent suck when you bring someone up to a manager? You're losing a talented person in their current position.
Yes, and there's a management theory called the Peter Principle where people are eventually promoted to their level of incompetence. Managers, it's specifically about managing. But it's funny, but it's also really true because think of it like this. I think we have all been or known someone who was promoted to manager, and it's usually promoted from a completely different job. So, yeah, people are being promoted to manager, and they don't get told what the heck to do. And so they just go, I think that this is power. I use that. I've had bad managers, as many people have, but I also understand it's probably quite isolating to go from doing well at one role to being expected to do something completely different.
Yeah. Are managers afraid to get rid of managers below them because they're afraid that they're going to have to manage?
Yes. I think that one of the big anxieties that the remote work surge brought was a lot of middle managers, and I think middle management mostly needs to go away entirely. A lot of why middle management existed was basically hall monitoring when you were in the office to make sure you were there to have the appearance of doing work without doing any. So, yes, they probably don't want to get rid of the managers under them because suddenly they'll have to do whatever it was those people were doing and they might not have been able to tell you what they did in the first place.
Yeah, I'm laughing, but this is a serious problem for companies, and especially if they want to save some money and also make their employees happy and make them stay. But we do have to end the segment because my manager's running down the hallway to take us off the air, and I apologize.
No problem.
Ed Zitron, great stuff. We'll chat again soon, okay?
Looking forward to it. Thank you.